I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to episode 504 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, Stepdad?
Man, it's good to be back. Had to take a hiatus.
It's like about 16 episodes since I fucking heard your voice.
There you go. No, back. Had to play doctor. The little fella was quite unwell, so a couple of shitty nights and a perforated eardrum later.
How does one perforate their eardrum?
Many ways.
Putting Tic Tacs in there.
I was going to say, Glenn may try to have sex with it. That would put a small hole in the eardrum.
But has he got the thrust? Has he got the power?
Oh, it's
perforated.
It's a short ear. No, it's an ear infection.
Right.
So he'd had a cold, and some people, you know, the infection might go to your chest or to your sinus or whatever. This infection went to his ears, and there was a build-up of pus behind the eardrum.
So it literally just breaks a pathway to get out.
Pops a hole in the eardrum to get it, and it is the worst pain. And he's not a sookie kid.
Yeah.
Like, he was sobbing. Like, and it's that sort of pain you can't do anything with. Nothing we had here even touched the sides. Even stuff that would normally make them sleep. Just right. Didn't. And then it's popped.
Yep.
And he's fallen asleep in about 10 seconds.
So it was so the pain's actually just in the pressure build-up.
Excruciating build-up, yeah.
Yep.
Because it fucks with everything. Like, it fucks with your balance. It fucks with, like, gives you nausea. Like, it's just burst and then just asleep. So, nasty one.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But wasn't me, so I'm okay.
And what you've described is just like it's almost like a parallel to the journey of West Tigers fan Glennie. When is the Tigers eardrum going to burst though? That's the real question. Because my God, there is an incredible lot of pus building up there.
15 years of pus. There's your episode title, my friend.
Tiger's eardrum. There we go. That's vague. Captivate the listener. What could that mean? Well, 3 minutes, 53 seconds in.
Thanks for listening.
You've got your answer, and we'll see you next week. Oh, fuck. Right. I guess if there's nothing else, we can get straight into the games. And the first game. The Glennie and Thomas Memorial Clash played for the Shield on the Thursday night with the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles 34 defeating the Parramatta Eels 30 and down at Brookie, and the Seabs Eagles tries through Ruben Garrick, a double to Tommy Turbo, Brad Parker a double to Hamoli Olakuatu, and Garrick 4 of 6 conversions and a penalty goal defeating the Eels 30, a double to Gutherton, tries to Dory Hodgson, and a double to Micah Sivo. 3 of 6 conversions to Mitch Moses. But don't ever let anyone tell you that he's not clutch.
Micah Sivo, confirmed super fan of the show.
How just so? Like,
well, weren't we going on that he needed to get more involved, that he needed to go looking for the ball, needed to
impact
the team more?
Yeah, and I think so. I also said the only thing I wasn't happy about with the sides, but the side is fucking Tuipulotu on the wing as well. So those two things came crashing together in the one fucking thing, and actually made the game closer than it should have been.
As an opening, this weekend saw a couple of these games where defense optional.
It's actually this year, I think, so far.
Yeah, sorry.
Particularly last two rounds.
Yes. Do you think that has to do with the heat at this time of year?
100%.
Whether it's a conscious decision or not.
Because it's not just the heat at this time of year. For some reason, what we're going through like right now over the last fortnight is like what we usually go through sort of at the first half of February, and we're done by now, and it's actually backing off, and you know, you're starting to sort of dive down into autumn where the temperatures start to get lower and lower. But this game in particular, I mean, it was still over 30 degrees at fucking 8 o'clock at night when they're kicking it off, you know, or 7:30, whatever. But so it just repugnant conditions, and we saw similar on Sunday as well out at Belmore, and I think most of all of the day games were affected by the heat and some of the night ones as well. But this one, I wouldn't put it like 100% down, but I am sort of like, you know, when I think about it, I'm just like, yeah, well, look, at the end of the day, the heat was fucked, and you know, poor decisions occur under, you know, extreme fatigue, and you could certainly see not even in terms of just the defense, but you could see the amount of guys just sort of going down and like just cramping.
Yeah.
In the last sort of quarter of the game. I mean, so it was pretty, it's pretty ordinary conditions to play in, but.
You know, teams are under fatigue when Gutherson scores two tries in the same game.
Exactly. I mean, like fucking Tuipulotu gave he gave him straight up three tries through just terrible fucking decisions. Terrible.
I thought, Schuster justified the faith. I thought he had a cracking game.
Yeah.
Best game of his career, potentially.
Yeah. You know, obviously consistency is going to be a massive key for him alongside DCE. But, you know, you look at how Foran's going at the Titans and so far. And if Schuster had come out of the blocks and started playing like dog shit, that decision, although obviously it's a decision for the future, but, you know, you've only got so many more years of DCE, you know, at the peak of his powers, so to speak, before he's starting to slide. So, you know, he certainly justified the faith and made it look like a good decision. But I don't hate Parramatta not having won a game.
I quite like it. And I think it's going to continue at least until the fifth round.
I wouldn't mind it continuing a little bit longer, yeah.
But I'll tell you, just to back to the conditions again, though.
Mm.
This puts it even more in perspective when you look at the fact that we just had a game where both teams scored 30 points or over and no one completed over 70%.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, Parramatta scored 30 points, completing at 64%. So that gives you an indication of the level of defense that was actually present. Mm. And any other time, you get absolutely fucking donutted for possession that low.
Yeah, and the only thing I would compare and contrast is that Parramatta's points all came in the period where we talk about players cramping through fatigue in the last 15 minutes, and Manly's almost all of them came when the game was actually on, when it kind of counted. But with like back to Schuster, like it was probably the best game of his career, but man, you can just tell that his best and worst performances are just an attitude away.
Yeah,
like they're so close, like they're so far away from each other in terms of his worst performance being far away from his best performance.
His floor and ceiling are very far apart.
But the difference between what causes them is just this minute attitude thing that could go either way. And even in this game, and it's the one thing I like about the side in a way, but I don't that they need to rein it in a bit. Is that some of these young guys, now they're all together and they're all fucking firing at the peak of their powers, like Homoli and Schuster and co. They get to the stage where the tries start coming so easily that they start getting a bit flamboyant. And Schuster came off looking like a genius in this game, because stuff like you know, he could have gone himself and, you know, scored that try instead of threw up the kick, the chip kick that happened to land perfectly and Tommy scored. I mean, there are things that, like, where he's taken the more flamboyant option and it's come off this time, but then there's times that when it, you know, when it won't come off as well.
Do you think Seabold's a coach to rein that in, or whilst it's working, let him, you know?
I think that's his number one job with Schuster as his coach is about, you know, pick your moments. And you know, it's one thing to sort of play what you see, you know, but you've got to, you know, at the same time remember you've got, you know, Daly and Tommy around you and all these guys that can make shit happen. So sometimes your job isn't to fucking pull off the hero play,
yeah,
and it's just to get it to the person who's in a better position to score or you know, make something happen or whatever. And he did, and like he 80% he was doing that. And the other thing I worry about as well, like he's not quite up to it in fitness yet. And there were times there on that side where players with, you know, like our centers and wingers with footwork didn't have much trouble sort of getting around him. And I mean, he's also got the new sort of combination in defense there with Kelma Tuolungi next to him. And so those guys got some fucking work to do, or they need to get someone around in between them or something to just I don't know. But I mean, just, even just like a positional slot, you know, just in defence, just sliding some guys around just to make them to work better. Because, I mean, Garrick and Brad Parker are great where they are, but it's just that little channel there. Then you've got Schuster and then Tuolungi next. That was where
Parramatta's joy came from, more really. More often than you want it to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and look, you know, I'm sure that they'll, you know, as they learn to play together and, you know, they'll improve. I mean, they're a combination in defence that is exactly one game old, so you know they'll figure it out, I'm sure. But there's some things I weren't too happy about. But fuck, otherwise, like Tommy was great. Homoli was fucking. He was at his absolute peak, best the entire time. The stuff I talked about from the first game and the trials, the way they were hitting in defense was that was happening again. So Siebes has got him in the right direction, I think. And we shall see. And but while saying that, still plenty of improvement as well, though, which is great. The Eels, though, I've read some, you know, some Eels centric, you know, Eels people speaking about these games, and the takeaway that they're kind of running with at the moment is, look, you know, if we were playing the Wests, the Knights, and Titans in the first three rounds, we'd be 3-0 and with these performances, and you know they're only like one score losses or whatever, and you know, let's not fucking pull the, you know, take the toaster for a bath.
So hang on, they're saying, oh, because we've played good clubs, it's okay to be losers.
Yeah, essentially that's the yeah.
Fuck. Look, I guess if you pair that with a hearty serving of, you know, it's only round three, you could potentially sleep at night.
Yeah. And while it is true, I mean, there are teams that have lost the first month and come back and been there at the business end of the season.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's fine. But the thing with the Eels is there's a lot of guys that just aren't fucking doing their job there.
Yeah.
And close losses you know, can't like sort of paper over the, you know, those cracks as well. Like Hodgson looks every fucking day of his age.
Yes, he does.
And he looks like he slows down massively and pretty fucking quickly in these games. And if they don't have a better option to sort of come on and substitute for him or something, I mean, there's going to be joy found. And then you can trust that with the way that sort of Reed Marnie's, you know, performing for the Dogs as well. You see what they've lost.
Is that the issue, do you think? Because Parramatta, well, last year, Moses and Brown complemented each other beautifully.
Yeah.
As in, there was this almost yin and yang of they would know when to inject themselves in games depending on what the other one was doing. This season, it's almost been like all or nothing. As in, it's all been Moses and Brown's hardly involved, or vice versa.
I think the fulcrum of that was Marnie.
And yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of that selection started. The selection of where it goes to, him.
Yeah.
So now you've got Hodgson, you know, he hasn't played with him as long and maybe he'll get there with time, but I also think
Hodgson sees himself though as he's not trying to distribute it to one of two, he's one of three.
Yeah.
And he can do that, and he can do everything the other two can do as well.
Yeah.
And okay. So he'll sort of and so he'll abandon this, the structure of a set if he sees something that he thinks he can hero.
Moses might have to give Hodgson the Kenny Edwards treatment.
Yeah.
Bring him in line.
He might, but
or they can just keep losing. I'm bang up for that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, yeah. The Eels lost. They're 0-3.
There we go.
It's a fucking great time to be alive. And the last time they were 0-3, they got the spoon. So that's something to look forward to.
There you go. Matthew, in our Facebook group, he said, I tip Manly. Then a couple of hours before kickoff, I changed and tipped the Eels. I'm such a fuckwit. I should be on the Tigers coaching staff.
Managing to sledge the Tigers whilst commenting on a game played between Manly and Parramatta.
That was probably my favourite comment of the entire week.
John, you said, the shit we have to put up with as fans of this club is fucking unfair. Does anyone have a spare Dolphins membership?
I feel for John too, because he's also a Falcons fan in the NFL, so that motherfucker's been through it.
He's looking for a Dolphin conversion.
Shunter Senior, he said, another defence optional game. Hard to excuse Gutho for that try.
Which one? There were three, I think. I mean, he did a good job to stop Tupolotu scoring that try, but that's just something I put down on Tupolotu's fucking line of -4 for the game.
Rory, who's new to the group, said, Paris premiership window is closed. Hodgson is old and busted. Moses is the least clutch seven in the game, and their outside backs are athletic, but can't gauge the ebbs and flows of a game. Bennett said, obviously a bit of work to do on the edge defence, but 6 points in the bank, two Sydney rivals vanquished, and Turbo still fit after three rounds, ticks all the boxes for me. On Twitter, Geo_Re said, you know that meme of the little girl smirking as the house burns in the background? That's everyone who isn't a Para fan. there we are. That's it. Let's go.
And yeah, and the last thought I had, just with Turbo's fitness, you can tell that he's fucking feeling good at the moment, because there was the first try that he scored where Schuster's just passed it to him, and there was a number of things he could have done. But instead, he's decided to go, I'm just going to fucking run over the top of the three defenders in front of me to score, which he did. And, you know, I don't necessarily love the way that he fucking kamikazes himself, but when he's doing that, you know that he's feeling, you know, he's feeling great. Okay, the Dolphins, 36, defeat the Newcastle Knights, 20. In Newcastle, I should say, the first away game of the new Dolphins franchise. And... the Dolphins had a hat trick, the first hat trick in their club history to Tessie New, gets his name in the books. There was a double to Jermaine Asako, Cody Nikorima, and the Hammer also with tries. Asako, 4 of 7 conversions. The Knights, their 20 came through tries to Tyson Gamble and a double to Lockie Miller. Hastings, 3 conversions from as many attempts and a penalty goal to Lachlan Miller.
Big talking point out of this game was the Kafusi tackle on Jackson Hastings. Yeah.
Which has cost him 3 games.
I think
it's Monday when we're doing this, so we don't know if they're going to try and fight it or what they're going
to
do.
They're talking fighting it to go for a downgrade.
Right.
In real time, I didn't feel like it was particularly late, and it also wasn't high.
Yeah.
The referee said high and late. Late, you can make an argument, given the ball was gone, but in real time, it was a fucking split second. He's running absolutely flat out.
Yep.
And it's not one of those ones that they're trying to stamp out where the playmaker lets the ball go, takes 3 or 4 steps and is relaxed, and then is fucking obliterated from behind.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones they're trying to... That's a fucking rough call. And even as he made contact...
A little bit based on his reputation too,
yeah,
I think, as well.
I think it's maybe some prior history, which is, you know... I think it's a rough call. Positive for Newcastle is Lachlan Miller. You know, he's played a lot of sevens rugby, and I don't know that he's going to be the type of fullback you can rely on to stop a bunch of tries. But his footwork and speed is a real asset for them, especially with Ponga out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree. In attack, he's a weapon.
Mm.
And yeah, the rest may come too. You know, but.
But this is the thing, though. Like, fullback's one of those those positions where it is so multifaceted that there's a bunch of important things to it that don't even show up on the TV. You know, like I remember the first time I saw a State of Origin match with Billy Slater and Jarrod Hayne on the field at the same time. And the fucking difference in them was chalk and cheese, just in how busy they were off the ball and what Slater did positionally and also organising his defence. So there's plenty of room for that kid to make an impact for Newcastle in areas other than just being a bigger body that can hold the ball up occasionally, which is, you know, it's not what you want, but he has a very bright future, I think. He's a very smart footballer.
Solid, you know, regardless of how the Knights are going, Newcastle's a tough place to go and win. And
they were right in this game too until, yeah. I mean, like you look at the final margin, you go 16, but they were in it. Like that game wasn't won until very late.
Mm. Yeah.
But solid first up away win for the Dolphins. Their run continues.
Do you reckon that they're going to call themselves Redcliffe at any point?
No.
Yeah? Because it's so funny, like all the newspapers call them Redcliffe.
Yeah.
Their team song, the victory song, is all about Reddy. Like, obviously, yeah, taken from the you know.
So hang on, what are they? The Brisbane Dolphins? Or just
no, they're the Dolphins.
So they don't have an area?
No.
No, and I think that was part of the marketing plan to capture, you know, fucking swinging Broncos fans or people that had...
Yeah, well, they should have been the North Brisbane Dolphins or the...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they're also, you know, they're also trying to capture further up to the Sunshine, like the Sunshine Coast. And I think it's probably a little bit of a play to nullify a potential Sunshine Coast expansion team into the future. They're trying to capture the whole area.
Yeah. Look, can we be real for a second, though? Queenslanders don't fucking travel. I know everyone makes jokes about, you know, Manly fans not travelling. Queenslanders don't fucking travel to football games.
Yeah.
You know, capturing the Sunshine Coast market will not mean extra tickets are sold at Suncorp Stadium. Won't even mean extra tickets are sold at fucking Redcliffe.
I think maybe Southeast Queensland, but plenty of people travel fucking hours and hours to get to Cowboys games.
Oh, cool. So, Glennie, the club that you shit on every time the West Tigers are coming up against them, you're going to start blowing them now for some other fucking point.
Just pointing out a fact. So, the fact that all of those people that travel hours and hours to get to the Cowboys game are all cunts is still in play. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a fair travel.
Yeah, look, you know what? It'll be one of those things. Like, what are the Roosters called now? Are they the Sydney Roosters?
Yeah, Sydney, yeah.
Yeah, but they're still fucking Easts.
Yeah. Yeah, they're certainly the, yeah, exactly. It's the same reason that people don't care what the sponsor is. I mean, Brookie's Brookie, and it's not exactly. Four Pines or whatever. And yeah,
exactly. So,
and Hope Solo Coliseum is always going to be Hope Solo Coliseum.
I am glad
there are names that just have tradition and history that must that are constantly used and will forever be used.
You reckon at Hope Solo, it's the only place in the world where, you know, a recognised elder gets on and does a welcome to cunt? Or acknowledgement. Because he's not Hope. I'm glad that these Dolphins have been in some tight games and been in games that they actually had to fight a little bit to win.
Yeah.
Instead of either or getting pounded all the time or coming in and blasting teams.
Yep.
I think that's been really important for this group.
It's like every game they've had to sort of fight, and then sort of the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They've sealed it or, you know, whatever, yeah.
And would have been very, very sweet for Wayne to go back to Newcastle, the club that he poured so much of his heart and soul into and did absolutely everything he could for, only to be met with probably the most ungrateful crowd of people for his efforts that I've ever seen in the sporting world. But nice for him to go down there and remind them whose fault the breakup was. So.
And, of course, sets up a big game this week, the first derby between the Broncos and the Dolphins, which we'll talk about on Wednesday.
That's it.
Socials.
Daniel, He said the last 2 minutes is why Gamble shouldn't be mouthing off to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Gamble takes his chances when he gets them because they don't come up all the time.
Carsten said the Knights' best player was a rugby union guy. That just shows how far the Knights have moved away from their working class roots with claiming all the credit. I tell you, for a fucking German, he understands Aussie culture better than most guys I know here.
A German living in Switzerland, supporting the North Queensland Cowboys, and he just slots right in. And also, he will be down, I think, for Magic Round this year.
Certainly will be. Thomas said, Knights fans are missing the main point here in losing to the NRL's toddler. It's that their performance still improved. Now Soup for Brains is having a sit down. Not enough to not be a shit club, but an improvement. Toto, he said, do Dolphins bring their jam rolls on the road with them, or will there be a mad rush to the Newey Bakery? Gus, Newcastle played better in spells and some good signs from their debutants, but Bennett's simple game plan wins the day. Great to see that gobshite Gamble basically hand the Dolphins the win. Can't help thinking the Dolphins have a big losing one coming, as this game plan won't wash with a lot of other clubs.
Yeah, I don't know about a big losing run, but I think there's definitely a ceiling to their play.
Yeah, there is
at the moment.
Yep.
And I think it can, you know, getting hammered early can really, you know, really deflate, you know, take the air out of it as well. You know.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, moving on to the Roosters on Friday night, defeating the Rabbitohs 20-18 at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters' tries to Brandon Smith, Daniel Tupou, and a double to Jackson Paulo in his revenge game. Walker 2 of 4 conversions. The Rabbitohs 18 tries to Kalamatangi Johnson, Tui Tupou, Thompson, and Latrell. 2 conversions from 3 attempts. 1 penalty goal from 2 attempts. And another one of these games where it's just too little too late for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, they certainly started fast and got out to, what, a 10-0 yeah. lead or so.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Roosters sort of didn't get ahead of themselves, didn't, you know, maintain their composure and slowly work their way back into the contest. And with the way to, you know, possession and field position as they like to play, I think they, you know, capitalised on the opportunities that South presented to them. And Brandon Smith warming to the 9 jersey at the Roosters, I thought, you know, he took a few more steps in his development amongst that group and scored a nice try and was just, you know, probably looking more like the 9 that we expected him to be when they signed him. So,
yeah. Well, Brandon Smith and I think Letters were the absolute keys to the Roosters' side for this game.
Yeah.
The both of them just put him on their back.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is a thing, I've said it since Reynolds' move on. Now, I want to preface this with I'm certainly not saying that the Rabbits made a mistake letting Reynolds go. You know, we've been quite staunch in our efforts, especially with how injury prone he is, that they've mm-hmm. come out on top
yep.
in that deal. But the contrast here is in who had leaders on the field. And the Roosters did. The Roosters yep. had elder statesmen or, you know, new players, but who were ready to take responsibility in that team. In the form of cheese. But you contrast that with what everyone's going to be talking about again, and it'll get to it in the comments. Cody Walker used to have, like, he'd have half a dozen brilliant games where he would absolutely eviscerate teams and be part of that lethal left-hand side for South Sydney.
Yep.
And then every now and again when they got into a tight contest, angry Cody would come out and he'd start having brain snaps and
but also, there was also the games with the angry Cody where it would actually drive him to greatness as well. And
there was ticked and then, off Cody, and, yeah. and if you could keep him at that level, that's where he would. He'd gut yeah. people on the yeah. field.
And then you got just, you know, just brain explosion.
Yeah.
Cody, yeah.
But this Which, year, it's straight to 11.
Every week, brain explosion Cody.
Yeah.
And, like, just shit that costs his team opportunity to stay or get back into matches.
Yes.
And just the sheer amount of unnecessary shit. Like, you saw that thing with Sam Walker?
Yeah.
When, like, running behind the play, like, 20 seconds after Sam Walker, the play's moved on, and he just sort of runs up behind Sam Walker, grabs him by the collar, and just rips him down to the ground in the back of the play. Like, just unnecessary shit. You want to talk about stuff that's late and unnecessary? That, exactly. You know.
And this is that thing. Souths don't have that Warrior Hargraves on the field with them. They don't. You know, and I don't know whether Latrell's supposed to be that man. Ilias is certainly not that guy yet.
No.
And I don't know if he's attempting to be within the club, but it doesn't look like it on the field. And, you know, Latrell's there and probably in his absence is doing more harm than he could possibly do by getting in and trying to be an example for these guys.
I think Cam Murray is head and shoulders the leader of the club, but I don't know if he's the guy to bring Cody Walker into line.
Yeah. Damien Cook's not that spirit either. That's not his personality.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a challenging one for Souths. They've got all the, you know, all the pieces.
All the fucking talent.
Yeah. And then just that little bit of loose wiring just...
Yeah.
Could legitimately be the difference between them, you know, legitimately being a premiership force and teams having their number just knowing they can get under Walker's skin.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if you go into a game against the Rabbits and you've got like a world class germ inside, I think it's advantage you instantly.
Yeah,
but it's not even taking that these days though. Like it's literally just taking, you know, like a couple of hits or just things not going his way generally.
Yeah.
Like when they played Penrith, it wasn't that Luai was in his face or, you know, rubbing stuff in or that there was a giant, you know, sign in the crowd that said throw another intercept, Cody.
Yeah, I feel like those games though, there are games that where he just goes in before the first whistle has even blown, he's ready to go like that. Yep. Penrith is one of them. And definitely East is another one. The way that the last couple of games, because you remember the time they played, not the last time they played, but they played in the last round last year.
Yep.
And it was just like that, like fucking 10 sin bins or whatever, 8 sin bins.
Were sent off.
Like
yeah.
it was just fucking mayhem. Yeah. And then you've had the games, you know, before that where, you know, Manu got his face caved in by the, I mean, they've actually built up, like they want to talk about the Book of Feuds and blah, blah, blah. The last couple of years, the games have actually been, like, living up to that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think Cody comes into games like that. I mean, the Panthers is obviously because of the intercepts and, you know, he's already head fucked. But with the Roosters, there's another game where he's just coming into it just fucking primed.
Yeah.
Like, probably the only two games in the season, actually, where he doesn't need an excuse. He's already there before he runs out.
Yeah, and they're the games where he needs the coolest head.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
Anything else you want to say on that one?
Oh, just great revenge game for Jackson Pollock. Remember, we had the absolute fucking shocker
for right.
Souths. You know, and then he was getting, like, you know, the social media hero death threats and all of that sort of business. And so great for him to come back and have, you know, a great game.
Yep.
Against his former club.
Gus in the Facebook group. It's a great game for a neutral. Cheese and Maria Hargraves changed the game and Robbo showed his skill not starting them and keeping them off when Souths were on top in the first 20. Trell far too quiet for me. Teddy clearly showed him how it's done. Eagle Rock on Twitter. He said, great spectacle. South shit the bed. Loose Unit Lestrade on Twitter said, angry Cody's gonna angry Cody. There we go. That was all that was worth reading on that one.
Right, moving to Saturday's games, and we start with the Gold Coast Titans, 38, defeating the Melbourne Storms, 34, at Hope Solo Coliseum, before mentioned. The Titans, their 38 came through tries to double to Cam Pereira, a double to Shop. Kelly and Vuna also with tries. Tanner Boyd, 5 conversions from as many attempts and 2 penalty goals. The Storms, 34, tries to Jonah Pezzett, a double to Nick Meaney. Tarek Sims, Jerome Hughes and Xavier Coates also with tries. Meaney, 5 of 6 conversions.
Hell of a shootout. Impressive that the Titans, you know, were able to outgun the Storm. The worrying sign, though, is Melbourne coughing up 38 points.
Yeah.
You know, we've made the comment on Melbourne that, you know, there's far too many plotters in 2023 than there's ever been in a Melbourne Storm side. And, you know, now Hughes is potentially going to miss a couple weeks. And they're not looking great at all. And, you know, I've talked a lot of shit about the Titans, but, you know, they created significant space on the edges easily, and their outside backs just cut Melbourne shreds. And, yeah, it's like really concerning signs for Melbourne. They're so far removed from the side we have always expected them to be for the last however many years. Yes, Munster's, you know, Munster's out, Pappy's out, but, you know, there's just some structural shit which is so out of character for them.
Yeah. Let's be real. You know, if Munster and Pappy are there, they probably, you know, I'm not saying their defence would have been fixed, but they
if Munster's there, I'd say they probably, yeah,
a couple more tries in them at least.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's very un-Storm-like. That roster management has been such a strong part of their club, be it, you know, illegally or legally. But they lost so many fucking players last year. And looking at it now, and yeah, contrast it with what the Dolphins are doing. You know, the Dolphins haven't gone out there and beaten any of the favourites. But just that solid forward platform, week in, week out, you know the base level you're going to have for your halves to work behind. That's what the Storm seem to be missing. You know, yep. There's not that. It's that Storm
culture. Ironically, because of that forward structure, he's now playing for the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, there's, and you know, they didn't have Big Nelson there either, who's been the saving grace of their forwards. Like, you know, the week before he got all pissed off and just tried to put the whole team on his back. But yeah, it's.
Who's that guy, though? Like, Welsh is probably the closest thing in the club these days. But who's that guy that's the Dallas Johnson or the Finucane or that guy that is just cleaning up the ruck, just making those tackles where other guys are a little bit lazy and he's the guy that's there knocking the guy over and cleaning up the middle? They just don't have that guy.
That guy doesn't exist anymore, yeah. I think.
I was going to say, like, Welsh would in spirit, but I'm not sure he's able. Mm. Like he doesn't have that sort of.
Yeah, he's a great guy and he's a good player, but he's not the guy that's putting the whole team on his back.
Yeah,
But just that workhorse, and all the elite teams have a guy like that, and Melbourne has relied on it. Like I said, the Dallas Johnsons, the, you know, Finucanes, and those types of players.
Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, just. It's just those handful of tackles that they make that are the difference between a fucking another play of the ball, or, you know, knocking them over on the fourth tackle and the other team trying to kick their way out of trouble, or they're blasting through the middle. Now, more often than not, they're blasting through the middle, or at least creating space for their edge runners, you know?
And is this the thing? Were we just so used to the high floor that was that Melbourne Storm forward pack? Like, just for so many years, it was the same guys producing and producing and producing. Did we become numb to that? And like everyone's saying, like, Felice Kaufusi's been playing great at the Dolphins, but they're going, oh, he hasn't been great for the last couple of years.
Mm.
Or have we just become acclimatized to the fact that well, that's just normal for them? You know? Bellamy said it himself in the press conference. He said, I don't know what to do to fix this. It's like we don't care.
Yeah.
And that's got to be the most disappointing thing for him.
And you could never say that about a Melbourne side over the last however many years, right? They come off the field, win or lose. You could never accuse them of not caring.
Well, what a kick in the balls, though. You're not even out of the club. And this culture and legacy that you've spent fucking decades and more building in this club is gone before you've even coached last year.
I think it's a generational thing, and you touched on it the other week, you know, like guys, and you, even last year you touched on it, Jay, where particular players in the past, the Cronks, the Smiths, the Slaters, they were an extension of Bellamy's beliefs and
will.
And
yes.
Yeah, right. So they're an extension of that. You now have, you know, you had the younger generation coming through of the Munsters and Cheese up until, you know, last year or this year. And they're a different generation. They don't respond to that hard-nosed approach the same way that a Kronk or a Smith or a Slater or, you know, or those, you know, those guys did. So maybe they don't care, and maybe he's just fucking worn them out, and they don't have the resilience of those old greats.
And it doesn't look to me like Harry Grant has the playing group in anywhere near the same way that his predecessors did.
That's a big expectation of him at the stage of his career, but I agree with you.
Correct.
But
yeah, correct. I'm not saying he should, but he fucking doesn't. Mm. But again, the Titans, all they did was play what's in front of them.
Yeah.
And fucking good on them.
I'll tell you what they do have in abundance. The foreign has made a massive difference. And I think Verrills, when he plays more games, you know, as he plays more games, he's going to be huge for them.
If he gets back this year.
Yeah. So, but one thing they fucking do have is speed.
Yeah. They certainly do. Although the best thing the Titans have done here, I think, like, you remember in seasons past, if you had to go to Melbourne and face the Storm after a loss, any loss, even if they played a brilliant game and lost in Golden Point, like, oh, fuck, you got to play Melbourne after a loss. How bad is it if you have to play them after two?
You know who they got this week?
Certainly do.
Do you remember that game? Was it last year or the year before? I remember being out to dinner and my phone was going fucking mental and I wasn't keeping an eye on the score. And I said to Nicklin, look, you're just going to have to give me a second here. I just need to have a look at what the score is. And I think it was like 20 minutes in and they were down over 30, nothing. Oh, fuck.
This is your golden chance, though. This is, you're never going to get a better chance.
I agree with you.
That's never going to get a better chance.
There is,
save that for Wednesday. Save it.
You should be favourites. Winston, in the Facebook group, he said, it really does appear that knowing Bellamy is on the way out has had a massive impact on the attitude of the Storms players. Hammers, if I was a Storm fan, I'd probably convert to the Dolphins after that. Yikes. Shane, like watching the old Toyota Cup. No defense, just see who scores the most tries. Grover, the only thing we didn't do was kick the conversions for them. I reckon there will be some vacancies in class at primary school on Monday. Josh said, I guess Munster must feel like how Ben Hunt has felt the last few years, being the best player amongst a team of plodders. My, how the cocaine-covered turntables... I think he wants to say turn, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So I'll just... Mupp and Adam over on Twitter. He said that was Kieran Foran's most important win against the Storm in his career. On to the next game.
Up to the Abattoir and the Warriors, 26, defeat the Cowboys, 12. And the Warriors tries to Wade Egan. A double to Montoya. Jazz Tavanga, Edward Kosi also with tries. Three conversions to Sean Johnson. The Cowboys 12 tries to Thomas Chester and Reese Robson. Valentine Holmes, two conversions.
And unfortunately, Wade Egan will not remember any of his performance after he tried to make out with Jason Tomalolo's shoulder at 60 kilometres an hour. So, fuck me, that was bad.
Yeah. Sean Johnson's best game he's played in, I've seen him play in two seasons minimum.
Since he left to go to Australia originally.
Yeah.
Most probably.
I think his combination with Tamari Martin is impressive so far.
Yep.
And, you know, the Cowboys I'm inclined to say disappointing. And the fact that the Warriors went onto the Cowboys' turf and stuck it to them, A, speaks to the Warriors being a different team this year than what they've been in the past.
Yep.
And part of that is is due to the coaching. So, you know, Webster deserves some credit for that. But the Cowboys, yeah, dishing that sort of performance up at home is extremely disappointing. And I think, you know, the Warriors showing resilience and spirit and fight away from home in particular is really impressive. And you know, Johnson showed that there's still some fight in him personally as well.
Yeah, the thing with Webster that he's brought to the side, I reckon, is the Warriors have never, in as long as I can remember, they haven't looked so fit.
Yep.
Like they actually had fitness and the stamina to go with the Cowboys in ridiculous conditions up there. You know, we've been talking about the heat, and they actually go with them. And the Cowboys, they've dropped off in every game this season that they've played.
Yeah.
And in this one, the Q was in the rack about 15, 20 minutes in when they, you know, by the time they scored their last points.
Yep.
And from that point, it was, I mean, there was plenty of time for them to come back at the tail end. I mean, the Warriors finished their scoring easy 20 minutes before the end of the game.
Mm. Yep.
But yep. they just couldn't do it.
Coming with that fitness, though, is their handling and respect for the ball.
Well, that's it. I mean, if you're not as fatigued, I mean, you're making better decisions for longer periods of time.
Yeah. Like the Warriors, how scary is this Warriors team, who, again, have always had, throughout their history, fucking terrifying players at almost every position that are just big and strong and athletic and will sell you meth if you ask for it, but...
in commercial quantities.
But again, as you said, going into the most humid place that you can play rugby league in Australia... completing at 80% against the home team.
Yep.
You know, it was 7 line breaks to 1.
Yep.
They ran absolute riot in the middle of the field.
And the Cowboys thing last year was their defense.
Mm. Yeah.
Where the fuck has happened there?
Defense and fitness.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe this is... Peyton had the off-season with them last year, didn't he? I was going to say...
Yeah.
Maybe this is a hangover. Maybe the off-season this time was a little bit... too much. Who knows if they worked them harder because no one had any expectations of them last year and they got so close. Maybe that disappointment put a bit more into them over the off season and they're going to hang over from it. I don't fucking know. But
maybe it's more like you know, some of these boom back rowers got paid.
Yeah.
Ooh. Controversial take.
Like what? I mean, like the people like the likes of Jeremiah Nanai, what's he done in 2023? You're a stats man. Go look that up. I'm gonna guess that he's done 2/5 of fuck all this season.
I got the game stats here,
right?
But Nanai, he played 80 minutes for 5 hit ups,
mm-hmm.
6 runs. 43 run meters.
Right.
That you'd think, oh, fuck, was he injured?
Yeah.
Or was he hooked?
Yeah.
You know, did he come off? That was, yeah, not great at all. Involvement's not there. You're absolutely right.
Anything else you want to add, Lenny?
No.
There we are. Our mate Carsten, to your point before, Nate, said, imagine if you've planned a 36-hour flight and know this is the quality of footy that awaits you. I will need a lot of beer. King Levius said, no Hiku, no worries. Good to see SJ actually manage the team to a win. Webster delivering the goods for us so far in these first 3 rounds. # this is our year. # fuck the Broncos. Beer. And thanks, Glenny, for half the faith in us.
You're welcome.
There you go. Kevin. He said, that fella Chestnut didn't look too bad. No, I didn't think he did either. Simon Griffin JP on Twitter said, Sean Johnson, confident and smiling, is something other teams don't want to see. For once in a long time, the Warriors didn't shit the bed in the last 15 minutes. 2 assistant Panthers coaches squaring up next week in Mount Smart, first home game in 2023. Let's go on, Warriors.
And I see that he's changed his name from Warriors Suck Balls.
He certainly
has. For probably the first time since... he's been listening to the show. So there's a sign for you. Right, we move on to Saturday night. The Broncos, 40, defeated the Dragons, 18. The Broncos, 40, came through tries to, well, we got a double to Katoni Staggs. Corey Pake, Selwyn Cobbo, Ezra Mam, and a double to Reece Walsh with five conversions to Renault, a two-point field goal to Renault. Defeating the Dragons, 18, with tries to Finai, Sloan, and Sullivan. Lomax, two conversions and a penalty goal.
All but a second half shutout for Brisbane after a reasonably patchy start where the Dragons jumped out, put a couple of tries on, and Broncos were looking a little bit shaky. But second half, the Dragons scored 2 points and Broncos scored back-to-back-to-back in quick succession.
Yeah, that 2 points that the Dragons scored, I think that was to tie the game up at that point.
Yeah.
And the game still had 20 minutes to run, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Broncos managed to score 1, 2, 3, 4 tries in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's a capitulation.
To take it from like what was looking, you know, roughly like around like a 24-18 kind of win.
Mm. Yep.
Hard fought, you know, down, came back, and it turned it into, you know, the type of fucking late game action that you know, Jack DeBellin would fucking dream of.
Reece Walsh again, standout. Ezra Mam again doing the same thing, pushing up as a good half and supporting. I think Walsh even so showed a semblance of a combination with Cobbo as well, which is a massive positive for the Broncos having all of those guys involved. Katoni Staggs was also solid and part of the party at the back end of the game as well. So, they got some pieces. Brisbane, I think, you know, the Dragons were competitive all the way, you know, like you say, until that last sort of 15-minute period where they fell off badly. Broncos at home, and the crowd, you know, once it started, it was a very difficult role for the Dragons to stop, and Broncos ran away with it.
You said it, man. Very nice. About covers it.
Matthew, you said, can we defer Kafusi's suspension for 1 week, please? Jay, in the Facebook group, not me, said, suck my horse cock from the pits of hell, you heathen motherfuckheads. Don't worry, it'll reach your envious lips from down here. Or should I say, from up here. First place, you bums. Going off this early in a season has never ended badly for anyone.
That's the type of shit fucking someone that supports the Tigers would like to talk about.
That just shows how starved the Broncos have been.
Lachlan, he said, this game shows it's all about attitude for the Bronx this year. First half was back to real COVID-19 pangling, barb dick in the trunk style Broncos, and second half is where this roster should be, dominating shitty mythical clubs with dirt fans. Found your alt, Glennie.
Yeah, good.
How good. Next game.
Right. Well,
we can skip it if you want. We moved to
Sunday.
We've already gone over this, mate.
The game companion game of the round, Glennie, where the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 26 defeated the West Tigers in a close one, 22, out at Belmore in the gates of hell and the conditions to match. The Bulldogs 26 came through tries to Hayes Perham, Matt Burton, and a double to the Fox, Josh Adokar. Four from four conversions to Flano. One penalty goal to Flano. Defeating the Tigers 22. Tries to Brent Naden, Luke Brooks, your mate Icy Pole, Charlie Staines, and Dewey, three or four conversions.
10 minutes of the revolution. 70 minutes of dog shit.
Are you ready to concede that Brent Naden's the Tigers' best player yet?
I don't know that I've argued against that.
No, you said Dewey was their best player.
Yeah, he's
fucking Barry from
everything
Dewey,
you said. Like most of what you say is rubbish, but everything you said about Brent Naden is 100% true and accurate.
Mate, I don't know why you just
No. If you were, I wouldn't say that everything else you say is bullshit. But what your analysis of Brent Naden He's fucking spot on.
I remember that. Me and Mr. Wars, when we were in high school, we'd had something that fucked our heads up. And we sat there and invented like a team of X-Men with the shittiest superpowers that you could possibly imagine. It was like one guy had the power to like tell you exactly when your food was cooked. Expert analysis of only Brent Nathan.
Yeah, that's it. Look, I don't know that you can monetize that. It certainly enlightened me, let's say that. He was really good. Really fucking good. And I know that he's got errors in his game, but so's everyone else at Tigers. He's fucking actually doing some good shit. I thought Dewey was poor for the Tigers. You could say, you know, the intercept was bad luck, but that pass was never going anywhere but the chest of the Bulldogs player.
It's his fucking drifting to the right shit that he was doing in this game. I don't think he hasn't been doing that like he's the whole time, but in this game he would drift to the right and drift until there were like three Doggies players in the fucking line, and he passed it straight to one of them for the intercept try.
Then the kick, the bomb that he put up where was chasing.
Yeah,
I can't blame him wholeheartedly.
That's a team problem there. Like, just lack of application in the kick chase led to that. And fuck, I mean, but you know, I've been on the end of that before as well.
His attempted tackle, and I know plenty of players have been beaten by kick out, but you could see a million miles away that the fucking big left foot was coming.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had overcommitted because he was fucking initially lazy getting across is the problem that I have.
Yep.
His spacing there in defence was fucking terrible, and he realised it too late, and Kikau was smart enough to beat him with the left foot. And, you know, with a bit more fucking application and attention, that doesn't happen.
He would have been there and set.
Exactly.
Then there was the other time where he's just, again, drifting from left to right.
Yeah.
Holding up the ball, the defence drifts with him, and then all of a sudden you've got three guys ready to jam in on fucking Bateman the second he received the pass, who got up looking like there was a rift already in 30 minutes of play.
A concerning sign for me, Charlie Staines, you know, came to the club and, you know, saying that he wants to compete for that one jersey, and Laurie saying it was going to bring the best out of him. And the try on the kick return where Dewey and Blorey were chasing, and Blorey tried to tackle around the legs, took Dewey out, and then he's passable to the Fox anyway. Charlie Staines, for all the fucking bleating about how quick he is, was jogging alongside the play.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if a second rower can track back enough
and make a tackle,
actually make the tackle, him at full pace can actually influence that play some way, somehow. I'm not saying they don't still score, but maybe, who knows? You put yourself in the position. Don't just fucking jog along. That sort of shit is concerning. Dewey's application there in that try where Kikau beat him with the left foot step, that application early in the game is of all the dumb shit that they do, that stuff is what fucks us. I still feel like the Bulldogs are a long way from convincing.
The margin, look, there's a 4-point margin, and yeah, you guys got an intercept, but they got two tries, like 100-meter tries.
Exactly.
One an intercept and one kick return. So it's funny. I mean, admittedly, all the Tigers' points came in a flurry there in like three tries in 4 minutes towards the end. But
there's that thing then. Going back to your Manly logic, the Dogs scored all of their tries when everyone was fresh and ready to go through the meat of a defense. And the Tigers have, you know, essentially tried to garbage time it.
Yeah. And I mean, you could see the Dogs' players were absolutely fucked in the middle, and that's why the Tigers were able to roll back-to-back on three consecutive sets and score tries, just straight out the middle, make the break, and not enough guys following through to, you know, take the offloads and score the try. It's a fucking... When you're doing these game companions with Glennie, you want him to win for him.
Do you really?
And so it's yes, and especially against the Dogs. Fuck those cunts. And it's when you find yourself positioned as a viewer of a game where you're wanting the Tigers to win. It is a fucking frustrating situation to be in.
Oh, please because explain it to me, Nathan.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's and as I was saying to you while we were watching the fucking game, like I am so glad. Like I've got a lot to be grateful for in my life, but the number one thing that I'm grateful for is that I wasn't born in fucking Campbelltown or Leichhardt, so that I was born into supporting this fucking cunt of a team, because I swear. I would have gone Chris Benoit on fucking my entire family tree long before now, you know, fucking hell.
My wife probably put it best where she was like, oh, how did the, you know, I came out, she'd had a relaxing afternoon, up the back, on the, that chair again, the zero gravity chair, under the shade of the, tree in the backyard, listening to her book. And I came out to just have a little chat after the game, and she's like, oh, how did the Tigers go? I'm like, yeah, no good.
She's like, look,
you know,
woman?
At least, you know, the boys, they have to just expect it now, right? So, and you'd have to expect it. So, you know, yeah. But I said, look, I may have been talking a fair bit of shit about how we were going to revolutionise the game. She's just like literally almost fucking fallen out of the fucking chair. Look, why after all this time are you still doing that?
Glenny's defying the zero gravity chair.
he's literally conjured gravity out of nothing.
He just spontaneously makes things decline now.
Well, that's what it was. I mean, it sounded like a moment where Glenny was just realizing the gravity of the shit he's been talking.
Oh, fucking funny.
But there's some hope for the future, Glenny.
No, there isn't.
No.
The thing is, Appy looks like he has actually learned the playbook now. He is like fucking as Tigers as any of them. Well, I mean, and he's desperately trying to do stuff like, you know, put forwards over, you know, for, you know, with crash balls to score tries, like he's trying to give it to, you know, fucking one of these Penrith forwards, but instead he's giving it to like Twile and Clemmer and shit, and that is fucking drop it,
like, man. I said, I reckon you've got 5-6 rounds to make Appy care, to stop Appy from not caring. And if you don't do that,
does he have a history of doing that in his career?
No. The thing is, he does care, but there's the other play that they are just not well coached enough to go with him.
But I'm saying he will just cease caring. You got 5 rounds to keep him caring.
Where does that belief, where does that come from?
Yeah,
that
he's never done that at any club though.
Yeah, but he's never been with such a giant bunch of fucking losers where he's like, I've been playing my guts out for you cunts and you're all useless.
Yeah.
You watch him. He's got a nice payday. He knows he's not expected to do anything this year.
Yep.
You watch him just put in, go through the fucking motions
just
the rest of the season.
Mailing it in.
Yep.
So, Glenny, what are you? Before we hit Team List Tuesday tomorrow, what are you doing? What did you see anything in the last 15 minutes that would inspire you to make any personnel changes in the starting lineup?
Well, other than one glaring defensive misread, I thought Wakeham was okay.
It all happened when he came on, right?
Yeah.
So, do you go Dewey Wakeham or do you go Wakeham Brooksy?
Well, as much as it pains me to admit it, and I'll probably go against the Hollywood elite when I say Wakeham Brooksy, who he was going to murder Brooks's family and friends and fucking future children. God damn, he's having a moment.
I got to say, though, it did warm my heart. I mean, I said before the game, what I wanted to see was fucking Brooksy going, you know, going the length, pumping his little legs for a try, and he did it. He gave me that, so that was something. But yeah, I mean, the side looked much better when Dewey got, you know, had to drop back and Wakeham was in the halves with Brooksy.
With Brooks, yeah.
And of course we can't forget that Noffa got the hook.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I thought that was pretty fucking strange, really, because I mean the ball never really went out there to him. It wasn't like they passed it out, you know, with the line open and three times look, and he dropped it.
Did he really get hooked, or was there another?
That wasn't just the reshuffle. It wasn't just a genius way of making that reshuffle work.
I reckon it was a reshuffle, but I mean, you know, when you're hooked and offer, it becomes a bigger issue, right? Because of what he means to some fans and what he means to himself. And
yeah. Does he actually mean that to anyone anymore?
To himself.
I'm sure. I mean, I don't want to speak for the West Tigers fan base, and I mean, we've got, you know, probably one of the more intelligent ones in our midst right now. And I'm sure that he can see the
praise. It's probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, I nearly fucking choked on it as it came out. But Glennie can see Nofa for what he truly is. But I'm certain there's a high, like a double digit percentage of the fan base that does not see that at all and fucking loves the guy.
And I don't mean some fucking make-a-wish kid whose parents are living vicariously through him being on TV. Is there actually a person that fucking likes Nofa?
The guy with him tattooed on his arm has to like him, surely.
Yeah. People get X's tattooed on
them. This is why...
Has anyone got you tattooed on, Jay? Fuck me, Deb. That's a fucked up human.
This is the thing, though. This is why tattoos is such a... There's a story,
I'll tell that off air.
Okay. Sorry, I asked already.
When it comes to getting a tattoo, though, I mean, you really got to think about what you're putting on there, right? Because it can come back and also when you put it on like in an unemployable position, like in your forearm as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be on your back. No one ever see it unless you're at the beach.
Enough a tramp stamp.
But like, you know, live in Australia. It's a hot ass fucking country. You're wearing t-shirts and short sleeves, probably the majority of the time. Nofa's out there in the world.
It is.
And one of the saving graces is it doesn't look a lot like Nofa, but other than that, I mean, maybe you could say it was like Stefano or something, I don't know. But
just because of its little midget arms, it sort of looks like Brooksy fucked Nofa, and that's their baby. Fun.
Nofa Luca.
Anything else you want to say on that?
No.
It was enjoyable, member side, as always.
It was.
I was hoping the Tigers would get that last try, though, just to get a tie.
What's Patreon?
I was fucking primed for us.
$5 a month. $5 a month to listen to Glennie's heartbreak live.
And listen to me sound like I want the Tigers to win. Genuinely.
How good. In the Facebook group, Mark, he said, I just love that they give the fans no hope all game, build the hope right up, and then smash it all to pieces as they throw the game away with typical ship play. Steve. So the Tigers are basically a more entertaining version of the bye. Conan, massive first half from the Scaff Dogs. A double to Scaff, a try to Scaff with Scaff slotting 4 goals from 4. Cops turned up late to spoil the party. They got out of jail in the end.
Oh, no, that's someone who listens to the show. I love it.
Jason said a win is a win. But that's now 2 weeks in a row where a comfortable win should have been the main talking point and not how we concede all second half tries to have a narrow victory. Still, it could be worse. Hey, Glennie.
Yep.
Matthew, Marnie stands out in a team that has potential but hasn't quite got it right yet. Also, special mention to Karaz and also Burton, who looks elite when he decides to tackle hard and run hard. Oh, what? You mean play like a centre? Matthew, Bateman has been bang average for 2 years at Wigan. Other than him being a prick and leaving it too late to replace him, I was happy to get his wages off the books. I hope he stinks the joint out every week for the Tigers. What a dickhead.
There you go. He tried hard.
He did.
Richard, who, fuck, I'll tell you what, out of all the comments we get, this guy gets in there every week and actually gives some decent comments about the footy.
There's no place for that here, Richard.
Makes me wonder if he actually listens to the show at all.
And he's great. He's good for a chat too down on grand final day.
Can polish off a fucking beer.
At the meetup.
Tigers were absolutely directionless until Wakeham came on. Even Appy dropped it after he took a quick tap and made a break. Brooks did absolutely nothing for 65 minutes, failing to combine with Dewey in any meaningful way. Once Wakeham came on, suddenly the Tigers got some direction. The halves found gaps. They combined together for a try. They suddenly looked like they understood which game they were playing. Dogs looked genuinely rattled. It's probably as much to do with the Dogs clocking off early than a sudden change in Tiger Town, but it gives the Tigers fans six more days of deluding themselves before they're brought back down to earth in Melbourne. And last word on that we'll give to our good mate, JR underscore Buff. He said, if I was genius, I would send Noffa back to the Storm as punishment.
And he fit right in at the moment too. I'll tell you one thing on Bateman. Mate, yes. Get down to the fucking Concord where the COE is. Get your calves a fucking knot and your fucking quads a nice stretch. Get a new skin fade. And then for the love of God, walk around that fucking building and see if they have one of those spray tan machines, because your legs are fucking obscene.
Absolute worst case. Go and roll around in the mud or something. He's fucking translucent.
Jellyfish legs.
Yeah. His legs are not that good. I was afraid they were going to fucking colonise a small island.
It fucks up KO and everything, because the cameras, modern cameras aren't equipped to deal with that register. Kind of fucking con. They can't deal with that contrast. I mean, it just fucks up the entire picture. So, for the love of God.
They said he was acclimatising. Get a fucking spray tan.
He's wearing fucking slacks the entire time, obviously.
Fucking hell. Has that word ever been uttered on this slacks. Show before?
Maybe not.
Fucking slacks. Oh, fuck me.
This is the start of your fucking decline you live into old age.
We're coming to you live from 1962.
I'm always thinking of making that the fucking title of the episode.
Still shit.
I'm always thinking of just making the episode called Slacks.
Slacking off.
Hey, what are you doing with your camera, fuckwit?
Huh?
What are you doing with your camera?
I'm dusting my desk.
I'm just looking at your keyboard at the moment. All right. So I'm going to move on to the last game while we're doing that. Then the Raiders, 24, upset the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, 20, down in Canberra. The Canberra Raiders tries to Albert Hopewate, Matthew Timoko, and a double to Corey Horsberg. Fogarty, four conversions from as many attempts. The Sharks, 20, tries to Kennedy, Mulitalo, Ramian, and Nikora. Trindle, two conversions from three attempts, and Talakai missed with his only attempt.
Nate, any word on whether Ricky likes a single pleat or whether he irons it in?
I have no idea. I was just trying to think of something an Englishman would say.
He's made of hemp for sure. He's got some fucking gorgeous hemp slacks. Oh, fuck, I've got him again.
Can we get a ruling? Can we get a ruling from one of our UK listeners? I mean, I was trying to think of something that fucking Poms would say. Did I nail it?
Not every Pom is a man in fucking 1949.
Why not? Of course they are. When's the last time you went to England?
What the fuck do you know about slacks?
What do you know about fucking England and their predilection for slacks?
Oh, fucking hell. Effort for the Raiders not to fucking give up that second half lead.
Yes.
The Sharks looked very dangerous coming back in, but the Raiders held on, and even more so than just holding on, turned the tables and really took the momentum away from the Sharks, and I think that's the first time I've seen them do that in a long time. But the really... When it comes to Ricky, I don't know whether he enforces it, but he certainly does look like a man that would wear suspenders rather than a belt.
Needs some additional support for slacks.
Are you saying that Bateman's penchant for slacks came from his time at Canberra?
It can't have got it out of his game. You know,
he was encouraged, if nothing else. And of course, when you're down there in that Canberra, you know, Canberra in the middle of the year, I mean, you got those pasty fucking translucent legs. I mean, you need to protect them with the Canberra two-step, which is of course tracksuit pants and then slacks on top of those.
Oh, fuck.
You had a fucking golden opportunity to say slacksuit pants.
Slacks. Honestly, we're giving Bateman fucking merchandise ideas here, and I will sue him.
Come down to Bateman's slactory.
I thought Kennedy, you know, he continued his great start to the season, and he'll be itching for Hines to get back into that side and give him that little additional element of time and space. And Trindle is making the absolute most of his opportunity as a starter.
He certainly is.
And they mentioned in the commentary that he's actually signed long term, like for 3 more years as a fucking backup. So there's a guy that's, you know, Sean O'Sullivan-ing it, so to speak.
And it's not dumb from Cronulla. They've realised that they're going to have a representative half, you know, most years.
Mm.
Yeah, and they've also got Matt Moylan as well. So, I mean, it's just good business, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Moylan's that guy who, whilst he's fit and healthy, is a serviceable six, has a great running game and a decent footy brain, but unfortunately can break down at a moment's notice. So it's not bad to have an insurance policy there.
Mm.
Yeah.
And look, Moylan, you know, maybe Trindle can see the 6 jersey as his in a season or so anyway. And
well, I said that a couple of weeks ago. When Nico's fit again, is it better to... Because Trindle's not a small body.
No.
Is it a better option to have him and Moylan there? And not that Moylan's kicking game is bad, but to have two genuine fifth tackle kicking options that can accurately put the ball where, as you would expect a number 7 to do it in the modern game. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the club.
As in, you're saying bring Moylan off the bench or...
Fuck Moylan off to Reggie's. See
yeah.
ya.
Yeah.
But to have Nico and Trindle
yeah.
as your 6 and 7.
Yeah, I think Sharks are navigating the start of the season without Hines reasonably well, and I think they'll click straight back into gear once he's inside.
Yep, agree.
Also agree. Still, I think losing the fucking Raiders though. My gosh.
Yeah.
Nathan on the Facebook group. He said, death, taxes, Jack White and kicking out on the full down a short side. Josh, I have a good chance of this comment being read out on the pod, and for that, we won't be reading the rest of it. at Big G Train on Twitter, he said, I reckon teams should just field 12 against the Raiders because, fuck me, they can't seem to defend against a team with a bloke in the bin. Also Horse getting punched in the face, then scoring is elite. At Benny27 on Twitter, he said, when do we all realise that Mith Gibbon is a real idea? Said it when he was appointed, and it's all coming to fruition. Benny27. I haven't seen anyone else
with
this anti-Fitzgibbon rhetoric.
Yeah, I can't say I agree.
Mm, me either.
I can't see that he's put a foot wrong.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's taken this team that were young and fit, but reckless, I guess, and has started to instill some discipline in them. And took them just based on fucking energy and a little bit of regimented play to close to the fucking grand final. Like, there's not too much to complain about if you're a Sharks fan at the moment. He hasn't gone out and fucking bought silly contracts. He hasn't... Like, it's not like he got there and pissed off 3 fucking fan favourites or club legends and anything like that. Like, that's a textbook takeover, especially by a rookie coach.
Mm.
Yep.
So, but, however, time will tell. Maybe we're proved wrong.
All right. Was that the last comment?
That's us.
That's the show then, fellas. Thanks everyone for listening, and As always, if you want to support the show, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. Get involved in all the social communities that we have out there. And as you heard on this episode, get your comments in after games in the threads provided. And you may hear your own super intelligent comment read out by Stepdad.
Slacks as a merchandise idea.
Look, if people like the idea, I mean, we are just heading. I mean, it's still hot as a motherfucker, but we're heading into autumn. Winter will follow thereafter, and that is slacks weather. Perfect fucking slacks weather. So yeah, if you want some Tornation slacks or some slack pants, slack suit pants,
why don't you put that on the member side? This week in slacks.
And of course, if you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/TwillNation. Tipping. I don't have the tipping stuff open, so we'll revisit that when I'm looking at
it on Wednesday night. Fucking bloodbath last week.
I was okay. I think I got four or five, but the week before was fucking three or something awful.
No, I did okay the week before. This week fucked me.
Yeah, I was okay. I definitely got at least four, maybe five.
Yeah. So my fantasy team's struggling. I need Nico back. I need him.
So who are you running with at half at the moment?
Chad.
Yeah, in a down year for the Cowboys as well.
Who hasn't been disappointing. All I need him to do is score over their fucking projected, or thereabouts. And Chad's been getting me what he's been promising. No, but, yeah, I've got to make some fucking cuts this week. Some useless cunts thieving a living.
Such as, who's getting cut?
Hang on. Let me get into it. I got some money on the bench. I got Big Nelson on the bench. He needs to get picked this week. Hurry the fuck up. But I've got way too many Sharks backs. I thought they'd be fucking try machines. But they're not. Katoa had a fucking 22-point Barry. Swali'i was disappointing. My backs let me down. Let me down in a big way.
Yep.
So, time to wield the axe.
All right.
Fucking gone.
And how are you placed in the actual competition?
Not
is it
well.
Head to head then goes through to like semis and final? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's it. So, but there's I think everyone's on either one or two wins. I'm not sure anyone's got three. So we're it's fucking tight at the moment. Everyone's panic trading the minute the round's over. There's like eight trades per team.
Fuck.
Yes.
Right then. Talk to you fellas on Wednesday night. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We will.
And see you then.
Later.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.